Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law.
See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Jason Lipschutz, and I'm an associate editor and the Pop Shop blog editor of Billboard.com. Based in New York, on the other line in Los Angeles, is the Wiz Khalifa to my Meghan Trainor, Keith Caulfield. How's it going, Keith?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, man. You know what connects Wiz Khalifa and Meghan Trainor?
I don't. What is that?
They both have songs.
That went to number one.
Well, sure. Yeah. Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. They both have songs with our special guest on today's Pop Shop Podcast, Charlie Puth.
Charlie Puth.
This is the Pop Shop Puthcast. I've been waiting for days to use that one, man. But yes, that is true. The rumors are true. Charlie Puth is on this week's episode of the Pop Shop Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Welcome. And Keith, you talked to Charlie Puth, who we're going to get to later in the show, but seems like you guys had a very spirited conversation.
Yes, we did. I'll tell you all about that later on in the show. But yeah, I was very pleased to talk to Charlie. He came by the office and we had a nice long chat. And you'll hear more about that later on in the show.
Charlie Puth, of course, the singer on Wiz Khalifa's number one smash, See You Again, as well as his own hit, Marvin Gaye, featuring Meghan Trainor. Again, we're going to get to a ton today on the Pop Shop Podcast. We're going to be talking about the Hot 100, the Song of the Summer chart. Check back in on that. Some soon-to-be hits from some Pop Shop Podcast favorites. The Meek Mill and Drake beef, and see how that's kind of impacted their respective sales, and a big new single from a certain boy band. Before we start, as always, if you love the Pop Shop Podcast like we do, subscribe to it on iTunes so you never, ever miss an episode. Give us a rating or review on iTunes. That way our stats go up and we feel happy and full of joy. If you have any questions for Keith or myself, hit us up on Twitter. He's at Keith_Caulfield. I'm at Jason Lipschutz. And if you want to explore all of the Billboard podcasts, go to iTunes.com/Billboard Podcasts. That's plural. Keith, we have so much to get to today. Are you ready to rock and roll?
I hope so. Yes.
You hope so?
Yes. I hope so too, man. I totally am ready. Woo, let's go.
Yeah. Remember last week's like wrestling language that we used? Yeah, that hurt my voice a little bit. Yeah. All right, man, let's get to it. One Direction dropped a new single last Friday. It is called Drag Me Down, and it is the first single both from their fifth studio album and their first single without Zayn. So this is a big deal. This is not a typical new single for 1D, but a special kind of release for them, and you know, it really dominated the news in the pop world on Friday, July 31st, when it came out. Keith, let's talk about Drag Me Down and what you think of it. What do you think of Drag Me Down, man?
I like it. It's kind of it's a little different for them. I mean, maybe I could be. I'm not intimately familiar with all of One Direction's songs. It's just, you know, obviously the big hits. But it's a little bit more kind of like light poppy, vaguely dancey, but not quite dancey. It has kind of, to me, sort of a reggae-ish vibe. Maybe that's just me. But it does. I mean, it sounds like One Direction, but at the same time, it also doesn't sound like One Direction. And I don't know if that's just the Zaynelessness of it, or if they're going in a different direction. Because the people that worked on the song are the same folks that always work on their songs: Julian Bonetta, John Ryan, I think is his name, and Jamie Scott. Yeah, it's the same folks that have been like recording and writing and producing their stuff for the past couple albums. So. I don't know what exactly makes it sound very different. I don't know. What do you think, Jason?
Well, interestingly, none of the 1D boys has a co-writing credit on this, which is a little different than most of their last album, 4. You had a lot of input from the guys themselves. They did not write this song. And yeah, I agree with you. It definitely sounds like them. It does sound a little bit different. I think that compared to their last two albums where they were really kind of going for that update of classic 70s rock, arena rock, and you heard that especially with something like Steal My Girl, which is just a great song. I don't think Drag Me Down is quite as good as their best singles, specifically their best lead singles. If you think about What Makes You Beautiful and Live While We're Young, I don't think it's there, but you know what, I heard this a bunch on Friday when it came out. It is so maddeningly catchy. I think that's the part that everyone kind of overlooks about this song, is that the chorus is just, it gets stuck in your head for so long. I think even more so than something like a What Makes You Beautiful. It's funny, you said reggae. I wrote a review of it on Friday, and you definitely kind of hear that little Sting or Police guitar riff going on in the verses. And yeah, I think this is a progression for them. I definitely do, and I like where they're headed. I definitely want to hear more from this fifth studio album. And the other thing I wrote is that you don't really notice that they're missing somebody. They don't sound incomplete. They sound like One Direction. You kind of miss a little bit of that Zayn bridge maybe, but I think it's the group and they get by on it.
I think unlike some groups, where, and again, this is where I defer to you, in my general knowledge of the group, it's not like one of the guys has like, oh, he's the belter, oh, he's the powerhouse voice. Like, they're all kind of, there's no one that's kind of overshadowing everyone else. Whereas in some other vocal groups where all of the members share vocals, there's oftentimes one person that has a very sort of belty distinctive voice. Like with the Spice Girls, everyone remembers how Sporty Spice, Mel C, had like kind of like the big bombastic like huge voice. With the group that I love a lot, Girls Aloud in the UK, Nadine Coyle had like this huge pop voice. She sounded great with everyone else, but you could clearly pick out Nadine sometimes because she had this huge voice. Whereas I think with One Direction, it's a little bit more seamless, where you're able to sort of blend the voices a little bit better, and it's not so distracting if maybe one person sits out for a portion of the song.
Exactly. And all four members of One Direction have their solo turns on this song. And, I totally agree with you, because even if you look at someone like, or a group like NSYNC, say that not even Justin Timberlake, say they were down like JC Chazay, like say he left the group. Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, because
or were you gonna say no? Oh, yeah. You wouldn't notice it.
Oh no, you can. Like you totally would, because he was just so integral to many other songs.
And also, Justin and JC basically did most of the lead vocals on all their songs. I mean, exactly. They all kind of had lead vocals sometimes, but really it was just those two. Whereas with One Direction, they all take turns basically through all their songs for the most part, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Exactly. Yeah. So, I think that it kind of calmed people down that like, oh, One Direction is not going to be the same group, or they're going to be totally different, and this sounds, even though the sound and the texture and is a little bit different than what they were doing on their last album, it still sounds like One Direction.
There's a reason why a group like, say, the Jackson 5 or the Jacksons wouldn't have been able to do what they did without Michael.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no one was checking for those Jacksons albums in the 80s that didn't have Michael on them.
Be like, come on, Tito is shining on this. Come on. No, it was all about Michael. I totally agree with you, man. So Keith, news broke. We're recording this on Monday. News broke that Drag Me Down is already setting streaming records, specifically on Spotify. Seems like its sales are going to be pretty huge. We don't know yet. We'll talk about that on next week's Pop Shop podcast.
It'll be huge. I mean, come on. It's One Direction, and it's the first single without Zayn. There's no way this won't be like a huge splash on our charts next week. It's already debuted on our Pop Songs Airplay chart, the new one that is refreshed on our website today, Tuesday. the 4th. And that was only after 3 days of airplay. So, you know, it's off to a huge start, and that's, you know, to be expected, frankly.
It definitely seems like there's renewed interest in this single compared to Steal My Girl. I mean, if you compare this song to the past few One Direction lead singles, Live While We're Young and Best Song Ever both had top 5 debuts on the Hot 100 chart. Steal My Girl had a top 20 debut, but it wasn't quite the level of excitement and buzz that those previous two songs had, and it'll be interesting to see where Drag Me Down lands on next week's chart.
I mean, you know, maybe. I mean, what I immediately think of is when the Spice Girls released "Goodbye" and it didn't have Jerry on it.
Yeah,
and that was their first single, their first proper single recorded without Jerry, and it was the song was kind of directly referencing, you know, Jerry leaving the group, so. Yeah. So, you know, that's why there was a lot of interest in it. And now, you know, I think the interest is sort of the same, except this song it's not directed at Zayn at all. It's just a new pop song that doesn't have him on it.
Yeah, it's kind of like a thank you to the fans. That's how I kind of took it. It's like, hey, you guys are there for us, and because of that, nobody can drag us down. So, meanwhile, speaking of Zayn, last week came out that he's setting up his own solo career. Well, that was already out, but what came out last week was that he signed with RCA Records. He signed with Turn First for his management, so it seems like he's making some pretty savvy moves on his own.
And the One Direction guys are happy for him. Liam was on the radio or something in the UK, I guess, talking about how they're happy for Zayn, and he was never really completely happy with the music that One Direction was doing,
yeah,
or something. So this is really great for him, and they're supportive of him, and he likes their new song, and it's all love all around, which is very good. Keep it nice and lovable.
Yeah, exactly. It's a love fest. And Zayn called this song "Sick" that dragged me down. He was like proud of the boys. So, you know, no love lost there.
I wait for Zayn to open for 1D next year. It's a double bill with Zayn Malik in One Direction on tour. We laugh.
That would be something, huh?
Yeah.
That'd be pretty crazy.
And then he comes out for, like, you know, a special moment in the middle of the show, sings a couple songs with 1D, and yeah.
That'd be, wow. There you go, man. I think you just struck a million-dollar idea. Let's get that copyrighted.
Yeah.
So you heard it here first on the Pop Shop Podcast long, long, long before it actually happens. So, Keith, let's turn to the Hot 100 very quickly, because it's kind of a slow week on the chart. OMI, Cheerleader, still number one. And in terms of, there's no new top 10 debuts, and in terms of top 20, congrats to Demi Lovato. Cool for the Summer is now in the top 20. It moves up 5 spots to number 19. So that song's doing very, very well. And so, Keith, we'll get to Soon Be Hits in a second, but I wanted to check in on, this is our first show in August, and I wanted to check in on the songs of the summer chart.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't talked about it in a couple weeks, and people are probably wondering, you know, unless they've been feverishly checking Billboard.com, as you should be doing.
And you can check Billboard.com today and see the most up-to-date songs in the summer chart, which we compile every week and is sort of a cumulative chart, adding up all the biggest songs of the summer up to this point. So when you look at it, you can see just how good Jason and mine's predictions will have been, because I wrote them down before the show started today just to see how close we are.
Oh, you wrote that? I wrote them down as well.
Oh,
so
good.
let's get to the let's talk
about
our
predictions. If I had known that, I wouldn't have done that extra work that made me late today. So
hey man, that's fine. It's fine. So here are our predictions. We had a couple weeks ago, probably I think end of May, we had our Song of the Summer predictions podcast, and we basically had, like, this is going to be the top 5 of the summer end Song of the Summer chart on Billboard.com. So my top 5, my number 1 was OMI, Cheerleader, which is number 1 right now on the Hot 100, not on the Song of the Summer chart.
Yeah, it's in the top 5 on the Songs of the Summer chart.
Yeah. All right, we'll get to that in a
second. Oh, okay. I'm supposed to reveal where these things are.
Yeah, yeah,
on
yeah.
The chart.
Let's just recap. This is just recapping our predictions from a couple weeks ago. So, Cheerleader was my prediction for number 1. My number 2 was Trap Queen. My number three was Skrillex and Diplo featuring Justin Bieber, Where Are You Now? Number four, See You Again, Wiz Khalifa and Charlie Puth. Number five, Taylor Swift, Bad Blood. Keith, do you want to break down your top five?
Yeah, in reverse, my number five was Hey Mama from David Guetta. Number four was Want to Want Me by Jason Derulo. Number three, Bad Blood from Taylor Swift. Number two, Maroon 5. This summer's going to hurt like a... And number one, Wiz Khalifa, See You Again.
So we had some overlapping, but we had none of our predictions were in like the same places. We had some of the same songs on our respective list, but none of, and so a lot of differences there too, which I like.
Yes, and yes. Mm-hmm. All right, well, I don't want to say something because I'm going to ruin whatever you're about to say. So
let's. I actually don't know what's in the top five right now of the cumulative songs of the summer chart. So let's do it, Keith.
Oh, okay. Well, I have the most recent one that we've actually compiled, because since we're recording this on Monday, we haven't actually done the new songs of the summer chart for August 15th. So I'm actually working from the August 8th one. So if the chart you're looking at online doesn't sync up with what I'm saying, it's because I'm looking at the August 8th chart. And that's what happens when we record this on Monday. Some of the charts actually haven't been finished yet. So right now, the number five song of the summer on the August 8th cumulative songs of the summer chart is Walk the Moon, Shut Up and Dance.
Yeah.
Whoops.
I don't think we, either of us, had that as like a runner-up.
No,
so I think that song has just had surprising legs in terms of, you know, it's listening to the song, it's so likable that it's not a shock to me that it was a top 10 hit, but I am surprised that it's hung around for weeks and weeks, just because we've talked about it on the show, you don't really see pop rock songs from basically rock bands do that much.
Yeah, no, and that's why, I mean, it's just one of those songs that is like never say die, and it's held on, yep, for a very long time. So there you go. The number four so far on the August 8th cumulative songs of the summer chart is Omi's Cheerleader.
Okay, so it's up to number four.
Yep.
Interesting.
Number three is Trap Queen, Fetty Wap.
Yeah.
There you go. Number two is Taylor Swift's Bad Blood.
Yep.
And number one is See You Again by Wiz Khalifa.
So Bad Blood is up to number two. Interesting.
So right now, just so you know, three out of your top five are within the top five, and two out of my top five are in the top five.
I would say four out of my top five.
Oh, yeah, you're right. See You Again. Damn you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Well, we both
so took, here's the thing.
We both took crazy leaps with one song in each of our top fives, yeah, that is just not going to pan out.
Yeah, it's funny because I had Where Are You Now as my number three, and you know, it a couple weeks ago it entered the top 10. I was like, all right, here we go, here it comes. But then it's kind of dropped since then.
You're like, here we go. Darn
it's like watching watching a horse race, basically. It's coming around the bend. Where are you now? In front.
Well, both Hey Mama and Want to Want Me, which were in my top five predictions, are within the top 10 still.
Yeah.
On the Songs of the Summer chart. They're just not in the top five. The Maroon 5 song, man, did that thing just like fizzle out and die. Like,
yeah, whatever happened? Like, that's surprising, because even when I remember when we talked about that, you were really confident in that song, and I was just like, yeah, I totally get why you're that confident, because Maroon 5 has just been phenomenal.
It made sense lately. after they had like three huge hits from their last album. Sugar was huge, and then before that, they had, you know, a couple summers ago they did Moves Like Jagger. And it was the same idea as this summer's going to hurt like a mother, because they introduced it on the Voice. Yeah. There's sort of a racy video. Like, I wrote a whole column in Billboard magazine about why this thing was like set up to be a big moment, and then it didn't work. And I think part of it is because the song is explicit, because they're saying, yeah, you know, Ucker with an F. And that's a hard thing to say. And so the clean version is, this summer's gonna hurt like a mother, or something like that. And it just doesn't...
It is, and I would say it has hurt like a mother.
It has. Evidently it has. Anyway, that's enough about Maroon 5. Didn't work.
All right. So we... No, you know what? I think we kind of both did really well in our predictions so far. Again, the songs of the summer list is not final. The chart, I should say. We still have a month to go. It looks like... you know, some of these songs are going to be in place. I'm sure See You Again is going to be in the top five somewhere, if not number one. You had See You Again as number one, so you might be correct in terms of the number one song of the summer. I had more of the volume, I guess, because four of my top five are so I think we're both winners so
we're
far.
We're both winners so far, and we still have a month to go before Labor Day happens.
You're One Direction, and I'm Zayn, and we're both just it's just a love fest, man. We're both doing well. We're both shining. Mm-hmm. so again, go to billboard.com to see the updated Songs of the Summer chart, and we will, I'm sure, be talking about this in the coming weeks on the Pop Jet Podcast. Keith, before we move on away from the Hot 100, let's talk about a couple songs that are not in the top 10, not in the top 20, not even in the top 40, but could be headed there soon enough. That's why we call this segment Soon to Be Hits. All right, man, we got two songs on Soon to Be Hits. Actually, two songs from two former guests on the Pop Shop Podcast, which is always a lot of fun. Keith, do you want to start?
Yeah, I will. I'm actually talking about Little Mix, a UK girl group that some folks might be familiar with. They're still kind of under the radar for the most part in America.
In the U.S.
In the U.S. The song that I'm talking about is called Black Magic, which has actually been, I think, number one in the U.K. for the past 3 weeks.
Huge song. Yeah.
Huge song. And it's like super poppy, super fun, super stompy. You know, it has a certain, it has some familiarity to it, but at the same time, it's still kind of different enough that it's not like, oh, I've heard this before. It's, I think, you know, it's one of those things where, I don't know, just go listen. It's really cool. And if you watch the music video, you'll see my alma mater, because it was filmed at the University of Southern California. Yep.
I didn't know that.
It was filmed at USC. At least portions of it were. The opening scenes, you'll see them in front of a very sort of campus-looking setting, and that is the School of Philosophy at USC. Don't know if the internal shots were at USC. I don't know. I haven't asked anyone at their camp, but it's very obvious it's USC. And the whole video has kind of like a more optimistic The Craft vibe to it, if you've seen the movie The Craft.
Yeah.
It's not so evil like some elements of The Craft were. I actually watched The Craft this weekend, so it's very fresh in my mind.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I mean, I've seen it before, but I mean, you know, anyway. Yeah. So there you go. There's my soon to be hit. It's a Little Mix with Black Magic, which actually, though it's not on the Hot 100 yet, it actually debuts on our Pop Songs Airplay chart this week. So it's off to a good start and could debut on the Hot 100 soon.
Little Mix was on the Hot 100 chart previously with their single Wings. Also of note, Little Mix will be performing at our Hot 100 festival later this month at Jones Beach, New York. Very excited for that. So Keith, my soon-to-be hit is someone who was just on the Pop Shop Podcast a few weeks ago. B. Miller debuts on the Hot 100 this week with Fire and Gold. This is a single from her new album, Not an Apology, which actually debuted on the Billboard 200 chart this week. We'll get to that in a second. But this is her best pop rock anthem to date. She previously had a single called Young Blood. I like Fire and Gold a lot more. This is a song that basically, if you're too young, if you're a tween or a young teen that was too young to remember Kelly Clarkson's run with Since You've Been Gone, this is a song that definitely reminds me of that for a new generation. And I think that, you know, I'm not sure if this is going to be the one that breaks her through to a mainstream audience, to top 40 radio, but I think it's a very strong single, and can't wait to see what she does with it. So there you go. B. Miller, Fire and Gold, number 78 on the Hot 100 chart. Little Mix, Black Magic on the Pop Songs chart. And that was Soon to Be Hits. All right, man, speaking of the Billboard 200 albums chart, this is it's funny because at the top of last week's show, I was like, we're going to be talking about the Billboard 200 albums chart this week,
no, we're not.
Where we have a new number one, which was Future with Dirty Sprite 2. We actually ran out of time before we could get to it, but Future was number one last week with Dirty Sprite 2, which I think was his first number one album, right?
That is correct.
It's pretty cool. Love that album. Dirty Sprite 2, so good.
Okay.
We have a new number one album this week, though, Keith, right?
Mm-hmm. It's by Jill Scott. It's called Woman. When I see Woman, I just think of the John Lennon song for some reason. It's Jill Scott's second number one album. It debuts atop the Billboard 200 with 62,000 equivalent album units, of which 58,000 are pure album sales. So it's kind of a soft week on the Billboard 200, you know, kind of a low overall volume number. It's Jill's second number one. It's actually her second number one in a row. Follows her last studio album that debuted at number one. What I found interesting about this is that it's the first time that we've had a album by a female R&B artist at number one since January of 2014, when Beyoncé's self-titled album was wrapping up its run at number one.
Wow.
And this is the first solo woman to be number one since Kelly Clarkson's Piece by Piece was number one, I think, like back in March. Since then, we've had number ones from female-fronted groups. Alabama Shakes was number one since Kelly Clarkson, and then Florence and the Machine. But Florence and the Machine is still technically a group, even though it's kind of a Florence Welch sort of thing, but it's still technically a group. So we haven't had a solo female at number one since Kelly, and we haven't had a solo female R&B artist, like a pure R&B artist, at number one since Beyoncé back in January of 2014. So it's been a moment for a number of different things.
Does that ever annoy you, Keith, when it's like, and you're not sure if it's like a band,
super annoying,
or if it's just one person with a rotating cast of instrumentalists? I don't know. That always kind of gets under my skin a little bit.
Well, the Florence Welch thing and Florence and the Machine, like, it's still advertised as Florence and the Machine. It's just like when you buy their new album, the front of the cover says Florence, and it has a huge just picture of Florence Welch.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, well, is the machine, like, really, is there really a band of
people?
Is
there a machine at all?
Is there actually a machine, or is this kind of like Owl City is just one dude? You know, but clearly there's a machine. Yeah. There's a band that's backing her, and that it's kind of like maybe Prince and the Revolution, where, like, Prince is the main show, the attraction back in the 80s, but you know that there is a group named the Revolution behind him, but... Even then, you know, it's like, oh, it's Wendy, it's Lisa. You know who they are. But I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. Do you know who the band is behind Florence? Do you know who the Machine are? Like, are they of note?
Yeah. Like, I always think about that with, like, the Shins, which is just James Mercer and a rotating cast of accompanists. But yeah, I'm always just like, is this a band? Is this a guy? Like, it makes it
difficult for people like me when I want to, like, have, like, something very cut and dry and talk about, like, chart statistics, and it, like, sometimes it just muddies the waters when you want to say, like, well, you know, like, especially, this is, wow, I'm just, like, diving into the rabbit hole, and then I'll shut up. Like, when we talk about stuff like, you know, full-length debut albums or their first release, it's like, okay, well, they had, like, a bunch of mixtapes that came out independently. Oh, they had an independent album. Oh, this is their major label full-length debut, their major label debut EP. I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, it's just, I mean, I love it. I live it because I write about this stuff every day. But sometimes it is super annoying, yes.
Well, you know what's funny is, and this is the last thing we'll say about this, is that Grace Potter of Grace Potter and the Nocturnals is putting out an album under Grace Potter, which I guess is similar to when Selena Gomez had Selena Gomez and the Scene.
Well, there was
but then
a scene,
lost
though.
The Scene, and then I kind of hope that, like, we always joke in the office that, like, the Scene should link up with the Ambassadors, Nick Jonas's old band, and make a, like,
the Administration,
a, the Scene, and the,
it was,
oh,
the Administration.
I what did I say? Ambassadors.
The Ambassadors.
Yeah. The Administration, excuse me, that we should have the Scene and the Administration album of just being like, hey, we're bands too.
It's I think sometimes that, like, the sort of the band, like, sort of had this air, like, it would give the kind of poppy artist, like, an air of legitimacy. It's like, yeah, Nick Jonas and the Administration, Selena Gomez and the Scene. I'm like
Nick
it's
Jonas
like she's like the front woman for,
like,
a rock band. I'm like, well, that in that on just face value is kind of silly. I mean, sorry, go ahead and hate me, but I mean, it just seems so odd at the time. Like, at least with Nick Jonas, it sort of made sense because he was so musical and, like, you know, he played so many instruments and he was part of a band, where Selena Gomez seemed even, like, weirder, but whatever. Now
I totally agree.
I don't know. Anyway.
Anyway, Matt. Well, before we also, Bea Miller, you mentioned it makes a top 10 debut.
Yes, her album Not an Apology, her first full length studio album, debuts at number 7 on the Billboard 200. I say that because she's previously been on the chart with an EP, came out a year ago. So,
Very true. Congrats to B. Miller. So Keith, before we get to Charlie Puth, let's talk a little bit about this Meek Mill and Drake feud. And, you know, a lot of the blogs out there have been obsessed with this over the past 2 weeks or so, ever since Meek went on Twitter and called out Drake for ghostwriting, and then various diss tracks came out and more people got into the fray. Anyway, Keith, what I want to focus on is just the chart aspect of this and the sales aspect of this. And I'm always curious as to, like, do feuds like this really benefit anyone from a commercial standpoint? Because, you know, you hear Meek Mill's name a ton just in conversation and on social media, but are people actually buying more Meek Mill music? I'm curious about this.
Not really.
Not really.
No. I searched. There's a couple sort of happy things to report in terms of chart statistics. Rico, do you say Rico or is it R-I-C-O?
R-I-C-O.
R-I-C-O. What does that stand for? Should I know that? I should probably know that, shouldn't I? Is it something horribly dirty? Is that why it's an acronym?
I will tell you. I'll tell you offline.
No, okay. Oh, dear. This is like trying to describe what truffle butter is, right, on a podcast. It's for a family audience. I didn't know what that was until someone told me. I'm like, oh, I love this song. And they're like, you know what this is? I'm like, oh, God, do I really know? And then they told me. And I'm like, oh, God, I really didn't want to know. RICO, which is the Meek Mill and Drake song, actually hits the top 40 of the Hot 100 this week, reaching the top 40 for the first time. So,
oh, there you go.
So together, they are still strong as a team, Meek Mill and Drake. Neither of their albums, though, the sales are increasing, so no one's buying really. Maybe the decline of Meek Mill's album is being held up a little bit better because Meek Mill just came out a few weeks ago, so it's really hard to kind of compare it. Drake's album isn't really increasing anything. Of course, his album has been out for months now. So in terms of tracks, it's not really impacting any of these songs in terms of like substantial sort of real like hard sales metrics or airplay. What is happening though is because a lot of this beef exists in the social realm and it hasn't really expanded outside of that to the average person that would care outside of their core fan base and core music fans and core hip hop heads. So therefore we've seen them actually have a lot of traction on our Billboard and Twitter top tracks chart, which measures the most shared and talked about songs that are on Twitter. Meek Mill's Wanna Know debuts at number 6 on the top tracks chart. Drake's Back to Black debuts at number 3. And Drake's Charged Up actually falls 3 to 5 in its second week on the chart. Back to Black and Charged Up, by the way, were both released commercially on July 31st. So we'll actually have sales of those two singles in the next week. So right now, the chart action is really kind of confined to the Twitterverse and the social world, because that's kind of where the beef primarily
makes sense.
Yeah,
it makes sense. And you know, you obviously didn't really see an uptick when Nicki Minaj and Taylor Swift had their kind of Twitter spat.
Social surge, like on our social 50 chart. All of those people, even Ed Sheeran and Bruno Mars, who had their fake fight, had a big gain. But that again, that was basically confined to the social sphere.
Yeah. To clarify, Rico isn't, or R-I-C-O isn't anything like dirty. It's just like a more complicated thing.
Okay.
We'll get into that.
You're like, it's not truffle butter, Keith, so don't immediately go there.
All right, man, we got to get to Charlie Puth. So Charlie Puth stopped by the Pop Shop Podcast. I'll let you introduce this one.
Yeah, the Puth man, the man known as Puth. Charlie Puth.
I want the Puth, man. I want the Puth. Even if I can't handle the Puth.
Oh, I was like, where's that going? Oh, that's where it's going. Yeah, Charlie Puth came by the office here in Los Angeles 2 weeks ago when he was on tour with Meghan Trainor here in Los Angeles. And I've said here in Los Angeles now 3 times. Just thought I'd say it one more time. He was very cool, came by. We talked for a little while about lots of stuff. We talked about obviously the undying appeal of See You Again. We talked a little bit about him working with Lil Wayne and shooting a music video with him on their new single that came out a couple of weeks ago. Talked about he did some beatboxing for me, which was pretty cool, and it was like amazing. So I'm like, how are those sounds coming out of your mouth because I can't. It doesn't make any sense. It was just really cool. And we talked a little bit about his new album that he's working on. It's going to come probably in the fall. So, yeah, we talked about a whole heck of a lot of stuff. And so, did you want to introduce him now, Jason?
Yeah, man. No, I'm excited to hear his Charlie Puth on the Pop Shop Podcast.
Welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast, Charlie Puth.
Hello. I'm glad to be here.
Today we will call it the Billboard Puth Shop Puthcast, just for you only. It's actually kind of been like a running theme on our show, like ever since See You Again went to number one, because we talk about the charts every week.
Right.
And we're like, number one again, Wiz Khalifa featuring Charlie Puth.
This stupid asshole, he took the spot again.
Yeah, no, we haven't said that.
Okay.
But it's like, that Charlie Puth, that Wiz Khalifa, when is a song going to not be number one? As much as we love the fact that it's number one.
Yes.
But at some point, you must have been just like, really, is this going to be number one forever? Like,
well, I'm just, I was just blown away by the fact that every week that it would become number one.
Number like, one for 12 weeks.
Number 12 weeks, yeah.
Crazy.
Like, at the seventh week, I'm like, okay, it's done. Eighth week, all right, now it's done. Ninth week, okay, now it has to be done. It's
yeah, just like, no.
It wouldn't stop.
It's still in the top three, actually, on the chart.
Yes.
Yeah. But that's good, because now at this point, you can probably buy a house. Or two, hopefully, just retire for a
maybe,
couple months.
If my dad doesn't, you know, just make me put it all in my bank account. And
you should really invest wisely right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real estate.
Yeah. So do you have to really take care of your voice to make sure that you aren't talking too much? Like with me right now, I feel kind of bad that we're talking so much.
No.
It's going to screw up your performance.
No, it's not. What's really interesting about me is that I listened to a lot of James Taylor growing up, mm-hmm. and James's voice is literally the same as when he started because he's a nose singer. So when you hold my nose, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again, we come along. Like, I can't sing at all when you hold my nose. So if I lost my nose, I can't sing. But
that would be bad.
It would be bad. Yeah. I don't want to lose my huge honker.
It's but not like, that big. It's a normal size nose.
I think it's pretty sizable.
Really?
Yeah, it's like it has this rounded edge to it.
Yeah, well, okay. If you think it's weird looking, though, it actually fits with your face. It's like it gives you some. Uh-huh. It gives you more character.
Well, thank you. I feel better about
this
myself.
It's not awkward or anything. Yes. But no, just but that's interesting because, you know, sometimes people talk about, you know, like, oh, this one thing on my face, this one thing on my body. I'm like, well, sometimes that one thing that you think is weird is actually the thing that gives you a little bit of extra character and kind of makes you stick out for some reason.
Like my eyebrow.
Like your eyebrow.
Yeah, it got, people think that I shave it. It's actually a dog bite.
Yeah, that's it's funny. Like, when I talked to you at the Billboard Music Awards on the red carpet,
mm-hmm.
and in my head, I'm like, oh, I want to ask him about his eyebrow. Because you couldn't tell that it was, I just mm-hmm. thought it was sort of a cool thing you shaved in there.
Yeah.
And then when you came up and I saw your eyebrow, I'm like, not going to ask him. It's clearly a scar.
Oh.
We'll move on.
Well, you're the first to identify it as a scar. By the way, I was so not stressed out on that Billboard red carpet at all.
You weren't?
No, not at all. I was totally confident.
You might be lying, just a little bit.
No, screaming fans and people pushing me everywhere. That was fun.
Was that the first like big like award show like red carpet thing you had done?
No, I actually had a lot of fun on that. That was my first big one. I always feel weird at those red carpets because I'm still like sinking in that people like want to talk to me. I'm like, why do these people want to talk to me? I'm just from New Jersey. I'm just like a singer.
That's good. Keep that.
Yeah.
Keep thinking that.
I don't think that's ever going to go away, though. I don't think that everyone's like, oh, just give it 1 year, Charlie. You're going to feel yourself. I'm like, no, I'm not.
Is that really like an impersonation of your family?
No, that's like an impersonation of like a person, a really dumb person.
Right.
Who is like jealous of me or something
sort
like that.
Sort of an amalgamation of dumb people that have said that to you.
Yeah, they do this voice.
You got a lot of voices.
I do.
You do.
It's basically just like, oh, that voice and little stupid voice and Charlie voice, which is this. And singing Charlie, which is, ha.
So then, ha. I want to ask about stuff that you're working on.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're working on a solo album.
I am.
The full length.
I finish writing all the songs too. Every time I get off stage, I produce a little bit of every song on my. I'm producing the record too.
Well, you co-produced "See You Again" and co-wrote it, so
yeah.
That would make sense.
Yes, and I produced Marvin Gaye and the next single after that, and it's fun for me to like do the live stuff and then kind of have my mini studio and my mini microphone and just get right to it.
Like on the bus, there's like a little mini studio?
On the bus or in the dressing room. It's just a laptop, and I went to school to learn how to... Berklee School of Music. To like learn how to record with like the most expensive recording equipment, of course. I just use like Waves and like a small laptop and a microphone like this to record.
These are very high quality microphones.
They're like cute microphones. They're cute. I'm gonna record your voice, and that's all I'm gonna do today.
Those voices. Is there any sort of timeline of when we might actually get this album? I understand how this works. We shouldn't actually say a date.
Oh yes,
that will completely change in like 3 days.
Yes,
but the hope is like before the end of the year there could be an album, maybe
fall.
The fall,
end of the year,
sometime before Christmas.
Sometime before Christmas for the kids, for the holidays.
Have you announced what the next single is after Marvin Gaye? I don't think you really should, because Marvin Gaye's still working up the charts.
Yeah, that's right. That's good advice. So, good job.
So, no, not yet.
Yeah.
Just in case you had already said it somewhere.
Yeah.
I was giving you the opportunity to say, no, we've already said what it is. We've shot the video.
No. No, Marvin Gaye is like, it jumped like 12 spots on iTunes today. Now it's like number 18, so... It's getting exciting. It's really like everyone's starting to like know it. I play it on stage and I'm like, does anybody know this song? And I sing, let's, and everyone goes, ah, I know this song. That's the crowd.
Right, that's the crowd.
That's the crowd voice.
That's the crowd voice. Does Megan come out for that song too, or it's just so you do a solo version?
What I do, she would be getting ready for her set, so I beatbox her part.
There you go.
And during her set, she sings that part that I beatboxed, and then I come back out, and she says, "Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Charlie Puth." And then I go, "Whoa, whoa, whoa," and I sway my body from left to right, and I'm like, I look really cool.
You look really cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, the beatboxing that you just did, there was an Instagram video that you posted, and a lot of the comments, it was you beatboxing, and a lot of the comments were like, is that really him doing it? Because when you watch, you're like, that's him, like, lip-syncing to someone else. You're like, no,
Clearly.
People listening, he just did that, and it was really
weird,
what but you cool do, to see it happen. I'm like, he just did that.
What you do is you hum, like, and then, and then just that's the kick, and the clap is, and the snares, and the dubstep snares, yeah, the little tail on the end. And what I do is on every drum, little bit of drum programming, I layer the beatbox into the drums on like on Some Type of Love. You can hear me going, put that on, pan that on the left, do another one, pan that on the right, one in the middle, and like, you know, layer the snare a little bit. And it because that you have the drum air already, and then you put the extra kicks, and then I'm just going on producer talk right now.
No, this is why you do what you do, and this is why I sit behind a computer and type things about charts all day. And
I would be very bad at that. I'm a very unorganized person, which
it's
is
good
why
that you know your lane. You know exactly what you're good at doing.
We're good at what we do.
It's good. Yeah.
High five for good at what
Ooh,
we do.
Yeah.
I said there's nothing but trouble. When I met her, she was.
We just got back from filming the video in Miami. That was a fun day. Wayne stayed for the entire time. We were on a spinning circle, about maybe a little bit bigger than this. I'm super excited. I think it was like the most added song to Rhythmic.
Yeah, it's doing well.
Yeah, I'm very excited
about
that.
It's off to a very good start.
And what's cool about that record is I wrote that a year ago with a chorus, and that's how my publisher found me off that song playing on SoundCloud. And I wrote it when my friend was dating an Instagram model, and she was being very rude, very mean to him. So I was like, these Instagram models are nothing but trouble.
And you wrote a song. And
then I made that the lyric.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
What is it? When Lil Wayne recorded his part of the song, he wasn't with you when he did his part.
No.
Like, you sent it off to him, he did it somewhere else. So was this the first time that you'd actually spent any sort of significant time with him? Or
yes.
Like, yeah.
At the video, yeah.
That was the first time you had met him?
Met him, yeah.
Was that weird? Like, hey, thanks for doing, hey, it's cool to work together. Nice to meet you.
It's cool right away. The first thing he said was, "Killed that shit, man." And I was like, oh, thank you, Mr. Wayne.
Thank you,
yeah.
Mr.
We were wearing, Little. We were wearing, thank you, Mr. Little. and we were wearing matching watches.
Very cool, man. That was a good chat. I'm happy we got Charlie on the show, and you know, see you again, number one on our Songs of the Summer chart, as we just mentioned, and now he's a Pop Shop podcast vet.
He's got a very specific kind of sense of humor, and I immediately kind of like jived with him because he has like kind of like this wry, dry, kind of like sarcastic sense of humor, where he's not taking anything too seriously. And so if that comes across in the interview, a lot of it was just like this sort of like joke after joke after joke. And at one point I'm like, are you actually being serious? He's like, not really. I'm like, oh, okay, just making sure. Because there was just a lot of like goofiness that was happening. But he was great. And yeah, we had a nice time. It was great to talk to him, and much success to him.
Very cool, man. All right, we got to wrap this up. But before we do, it's time for your chart stat of the week.
Diddle-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Okay, you know, this week, in 1973, on August 4th, a song went to number one on the Billboard Hot 100 that kind of combines two great loves of mine. One, movie songs, and two, disaster films. Because this week in 1973...
Wait, whoa. You're a big disaster film guy?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Like what? Can you give me? I'm sorry to derail your charts out of the week.
No. I mean, like, I love like The Towering Inferno, and I love I like Independence Day for what it is. But I love the kind of like, you know, silly disaster films where, you know, who's going to survive? How are people going to die? You know, just
Dante's Peak, man. I love the volcano movies.
Yeah, Pierce Brosnan. How can you go wrong? Deep Impact. Which I think is still, you know, great. I never actually saw Armageddon. I think I was more of a Deep Impact guy. I know if I say I love disaster films, I haven't seen Armageddon. But
dude, like, I was just gonna say, like, Armageddon is probably my favorite disaster movie. It's just so good.
Well, so this week in 1973, The Morning After by Maureen McGovern went to number one on the Billboard Hot 100. Now, The Morning After was the was sort of the theme song from the movie The Poseidon Adventure. There's got to be a morning after. And she's I believe she was the sort of the lounge singer in the scene where it's New Year's Eve on the big fabulous luxury cruise ship. And she's singing, and then, you know, well, the tidal wave shows up, and the boat flips over, and, you know, it's, you know, how do they get out of this boat that's now capsized in the middle of the ocean? A whole bunch of people die, yada, yada. Anyway, the song went to number one on the Billboard Hot 100, and, you know, what's really interesting about her career is that most of the songs that we know of Maureen McGovern are actually tied to films. And I'm grabbing a list because I want to tell you what these films are. And that's why you hear like shuffling in the room.
I like this.
She also had a hit from The Towering Inferno. It was called We May Never Love Like This Again. Didn't go to number one. It went to number 83. However, it actually won the Academy Award for Best Original Song, as did The Morning After. So she was kind of like a good luck charm to a certain degree for people who wanted to win an Academy Award, have Maureen McGovern sing it. She also had later hits with Can You Read My Mind from the movie Superman, starring Christopher Reeve, and a song called Different Worlds from the TV series Angie. So she was kind of, you know, call up Maureen McGovern if you need someone to do a song. And most of her songs that charted on the Hot 100 were all from like a movie or a TV show. So anyway, there's your random chart stat of the week this week in 1973.
I love it, man.
Maureen McGovern hit number one with The Morning After.
Thank you, Keith, for your chart stat of the week. I love when we learn about each other on the Pop Show podcast.
When we learn
about one another.
Oh yeah. See,
I had no idea you were a disaster flick guy.
Well,
that's
I even like that stupid. Oh, what was it 2012. See, I say how big of a disaster person film a person, and then I can't even name the name of it.
Oh, do you like The Day After Tomorrow?
Oh, so that's great. I always like to reference that one because, you know, it's like, save me from the ice, save me from the cold. It's getting, you can actually see the weather. The weather is running after them down a hallway in a library. Like the books are getting cold.
So awesome.
And also,
my favorite part of that movie is that Dennis Quaid is stuck in Philadelphia and then his son, Jake Gyllenhaal, is stuck in New York. And he's like, and Dennis Quaid's like, I guess we have to walk to New York from Philadelphia, and they do it in like 2 days. Like it's like no big deal.
My running gag is that, you know, I like to just say like whenever like it's getting too cold or like the weather is starting to get really weird, and we talk about global warming a lot. I always like to just say, "Save me, Jake! Save me, Jake! The day after tomorrow, save me, Jake!" That's just like hashtag Save Me, Jake. Jake Gyllenhaal in a disaster film and. Come on.
So good. That's awesome. All right, man, we got to go. That was a fun Pop Shop podcast. And once again, if you like the show, subscribe to us on iTunes so you never, ever miss an episode. We will be back next week with another fun guest. Excited for this one. And Keith, do you have any parting words?
I do. Happy birthday to ya, Jason. It's your birthday.
Oh, thanks, man. Hey, yeah, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, August 4th, it is my birthday. So thanks, Keith. I appreciate that.
Feel free to edit that out if you actually don't want me to reveal that it's your birthday today.
No, it's fine.
Take that out if you wanna. You can edit it if you wanna. Do.
Let's go out on I Don't Want to Miss a Thing from one of my favorite disaster movies, Armageddon. Thanks for listening and take care. Don't wanna close my eyes.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.